What do you mean? Oh, okay. Just checking.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that was weird. I wonder if we're in the air. I have no idea. Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. It is our special Wednesday night show. I think I have no idea what's going on. We've had all kinds of issues this evening getting going. Timmy and I had been talking for the last 5 minutes, and also we got the intro music. So I'm assuming, Tim, we've had these problems before on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, you know, I was beginning to wonder, Rich, if you were playing that test program that we did a couple months ago. I'm thinking, okay, it's not April 1st, okay, and I know you wouldn't do that to me without at least 10 seconds notice. So I guess here we are.
Yeah, we got it. We have to dig up that show, Timmy, and it was quite a show. I'm actually calling in on my house phone, so I'm probably going to sound terrible. So if you're listening to this for the first time, we apologize ahead of time. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio, and it seems like midweek, doesn't seem to want to cooperate. So I will talk to the great Pod Vader tomorrow to complain, and he's been very, very good at about helping us out. Timmy, happy Canada Day.
Why, thank you very much, Rich. We're 148 years old today and still a kicking.
Wow, that's awesome. So what did you do today?
What did I do today? I worked. I did 3-4 calls. I did 2 other podcasts, and this makes number 3 for the day. And as you can imagine, I am fully prepared for this evening. What are we talking about, Rich, tonight?
That's right. So what do you mean? You actually did real work? I mean, you did work?
Yeah, I did work. Call me a capitalist by nature, but it's a very, very busy time of the year. And I'm in sales. And when it's busy, that's the time to make hay. And when you're a commissioned employee, when there's hay to be reaped, yeah, you can call me the reaper.
Well, there you go. The hay reaper, we will call that. Will be Tim's new moniker. So Tim, what does one have? I know here in the States, July 4th comes up the end of this week. When we have our July 4th, it's hamburgers, hot dogs, maybe barbecue, kind of chicken kind of stuff, maybe a brats if you're in the Midwest. What do people in Canada have?
Well, hey, it's time to break out the old barbecue and get to grilling. Much the same as yours, we also have a huge fireworks display this evening. It's sort of fun where we are here because everything is down at the river. And right across the river is, of course, Minnesota. So what happens is each and every year, the two countries, the two communities of Fort Frances and International Falls, they sort of play games with, let's see who can have the biggest fireworks. So we have ours first, and then everybody in International Falls rushes out and buys an extra 6-pack of big jumbo crackers for the 4th, and we all go down to the river, and we get two sets of displays going.
Wow. So are you missing that, Tim, because you're on with us?
Am I missing it? According to Kathy, yes. According to me, no. It's a split vote, Rich.
All right. Very, very good. And I say us because we have a third party with us this evening, and that is the great Robert Mershak. I'm going to get his name right before the end of the show. Robert's been a longtime listener of ours. We'll let him introduce himself. And so, Robert, welcome.
Thank you, Rich, and thank you, Tim. I'm so grateful to be here and for everything you and Tim do for all of us. I know I speak for so many people when I say your show and Facebook page and the website, it just makes our lives a little bit brighter. So thank you.
Well, cool. So Robert, so tell us a little about yourself. How long you've been playing fantasy baseball and all that kind of good stuff. How long you've been listening to the show?
Gosh, I've been playing fantasy baseball since 2001 and started some leagues with my father and friends. And I realized I got better at the ones that were pretty deep. And I actually have followed Lenny Melnick for a while and listened. Well, I still do. I still listen to his podcast daily. And I got to know your website just by Googling it and starting to learn about the prospects. And then I started learning about Tim McLeod.
Cool. So you actually found my site first before you actually found the podcast.
And
Robert, you there?
I lost him here halfway through the last blurb.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Yeah. I'm sorry, Robert. You might want to reconnect in very quickly. We lost you in your beautiful soliloquy about how awesome we were, Tim.
Well, yeah, and you know, when he was getting into that stage, Rich, where, you know, he was thanking us for everything, yeah, he obviously hasn't got my invoice yet, right?
No, absolutely not. So Robert,
yours
have you,
too?
Robert, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we lost you there for a minute. So you actually found my website first before you actually found the show.
Yeah, I started researching prospects, and that helped me get more into the game. You know, I'm a real stat guy. I'm a doctor of music, so I'm really into the mathematics of it all, and because it's a natural progression into the stats of baseball. And you really taught me how to watch the game in a very different way. So I can really go to a game now and enjoy it and really look for some detailed things how a scout would, or, you know, or relatively, at least at a deeper level. So I'm really grateful for that.
Now, Robert, you're also a doctor. So tell us what that's all about, and then tell us, I know a little bit about what you do for a living. I think it's completely fascinating. So tell us a little bit about your doctorship and what do you do for a living?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's not your normal doctor. It's a doctor of music. And I taught at a few universities, actually, for a while, and then I work for Columbia Artist Management, and I started my own agency for classical singers about 12 years ago. And now I represent 26 classical singers worldwide with my own company, Mershek Artist Management. And then I also volunteer on another level. I volunteer for a not-for-profit wellness center called Nam Yoga Healing and Research Center. And I do meditation research and some different stuff, and it's a really great place to for people to de-stress and make a difference in people's lives.
That's totally awesome. So, Timmy, we have Scott Boris of the classical music world. I mean, that's who we got on the line. I feel honored. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah. Rich, did you talk to him first about the fee, like negotiating it, or are we going to leave that till later? I'll leave that to you, okay? That's yours.
This is we don't pay a lot, Robert, so that's the deal. Robert's an awesome player. We played in a number of leagues with him. We're playing in the Dynasty League with him, and the three of us are competing for second, third, fourth place, so we're right in there together and fighting it out. It is a Dynasty League that we're in. But, Robert, since you are a doctor of music, and obviously Tim and I are very musical as well, but my guess is your type of music's probably a little bit more upscale than the classic rock that Tim and I would like.
I don't know. I love rock music. So I love all kinds of music. I think it's all valid. And so I think whatever makes you happy, I think is great.
Okay,
but yeah, I love opera. I love classical music. But I love rock as well.
All right. Well, I'm glad you said that, Tim, Robert, and Tim, because in honor of Robert, Tim, we're going to do a guess the player. And of course, the whole purpose of this is to make our guest look stupid and me look smart, because I have the answer and you do not. So I think this is going to be right up Robert's alley, Timmy, but maybe not. We're going to find out how much he really knows about the music business. Tim, do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think it's more than fair. And, you know, I like the idea of a third person, because I've got that DA tattooed on my forehead permanently, okay, when there's only two of us. Hey, there's nothing better than being able to share the misery with a third party. I hope Robert gets first kick at the can at this one.
Absolutely, he's going to get first kick at the can. So here we go, Robert.
Excellent.
So this is Guess the Player. We're not going to do a baseball question, because I'm sure you're going to get that right. We're going to actually do a music question. You ready?
I'm ready.
So this week was the sixth anniversary of the great Michael Jackson dying. Michael Jackson, obviously one of the greatest pop singers ever, huge catalog of music, Billie Jean, Beat It, Thriller. The whole Thriller album was one of the most popular albums ever sold. Black and White, you name it. He was the pop king of the 80s and late 80s and early 90s. Actually, oddly enough, he died the same week Mike Trout signed his sign on with the Los Angeles Angels. I have no idea why I said that. Just kind of a bizarre thing in our little world. But my question for the two of you, since his death in 2009, in fact, June 25th of 2009, how much money has his estate made in these past 6 years? Now, Robert, as you know, I mean, you're a great musician, you're a doctor of music, so you should have no problem with this, and you represent musicians. So I expect you to be able to get this. I'm not looking for an exact amount, but something like $10, $100, $1,000, $8 million, whatever number you want. How much money has Michael Jackson's estate made since his death?
I would say $2 billion.
$2 billion, Tim. $2 billion. Timmy McLeod, who is just a rock and roller. He usually gets these things right because he's a brilliant mind. But Tim, how much money has the Michael Jackson estate made?
Well, the Michael Jackson estate still holds catalog, I believe, to just about everything Lennon and McCartney did. Cash cow. I'm going $3.8
billion. Wow. You know, you guys don't play this game very, very fairly. You're both completely wrong, but I am impressed by the fact that you knew it was in the billions of dollars. It's actually $1 billion is the estimate that he has made in the last 6 years. You guys went a little over. If playing the Price is Right, you automatically lose. But I'm going to give you guys pretty good marks on that. That was a tough one, and you guessed in the billion dollars. I mean, Robert, that's pretty impressive. I mean, a guy, he doesn't have Graceland. I think he sold that goofy that house he had and the ranch he had. I think that was part of the money he made, but it's amazing how much money his catalog is still bringing in.
And his estate actually went bankrupt, didn't it, at one point?
I think it did. Probably a negative. So,
yeah.
So good stuff. Maybe we'll do a baseball question a little bit later on. Our purpose of this session, the show, is to simply pretend like we are at the beginning of the season, but yet we're in the middle of the season. We're about to start a new league. How would the first round look? And, Timmy, we talked a little bit about this on Sunday. I think it's going to look quite different than it did last March.
Yeah, I agree. Gregor Blanco, I think, went 3-for-4 tonight, so he's way up there for me, Rich. Way up there.
Okay. Well, I've had to pull down every one of my sites because I was afraid that everything would get screwed up on my computer. But now I'm calling in on the phone. Now I could bring this stuff up, or I would tell you who was the what the top 15 looked like at the beginning of the season. But unfortunately, I do not have that. So we're just going to get. Oh, actually, I can bring up last Sunday's notes, and I bet you it has it in there, Tim. Look at that. Here we go. Here they are. First round from this is NFBC, Mike Trout, Andrew McCutchen, Clayton Kershaw, Giancarlo Stanton, Paul Goldschmidt, Miguel Cabrera, Jose Abreu, Carlos Gomez, Jose Bautista, E5, Felix Hernandez, Jose Altuve, Anthony Rizzo, Adam Jones, and Troy Tulowitzki. We're going to start off. We've randomly drew straws, and our good friend Robert Mirshak,
It's Mirshak.
Mirshak. Robert Mirshak is on the clock.
Okay. So normally you would go Trout here, but and I normally go with Tim and draft an outfielder. But this year, this time, the batting average is just too much. The stolen bases push me over the edge, and you have to go with Paul Goldschmidt.
Wow. Tim, shocking. Shocking to go with Paul Goldschmidt, number one, the great Mike Trout, who's won the reigning MVP, runner-up MVP his first 2 years. And Robert goes, Paul Goldschmidt, should I hang up on him right now?
Well, actually, no, because if I had first pick right now, you got to consider Goldie. He's he's having an incredible year. It's not like it totally came out of nowhere. So I got no problems with Goldschmidt at number one. It wouldn't be my choice because of the position and position scarcity. But, hey, you can argue all day if you want and have viable justification for Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I also agree. Sorry, Robert, go ahead.
I also looked at the rest of the first round that I had, and there's other outfielders there. So it was very interesting because I expect Paul Goldschmidt to finish about 330, 40 home runs, 25 stolen bases.
What about next year? Let's spin the clock forward 7-8 months, and you're in the middle of your draft. You get the number one pick in NFBC. You've just spent $1,500. Are you going to have the courage to take Paul Goldschmidt when Mike Trout is sitting there?
I mean, I have to look at the stats at the end of the year. I think is right now his statistics show that he can't hit. He's about a 290 hitter. So that difference in the batting average for me is huge.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think it's a legitimate. It's going to be a legitimate question as we go into next season. And Mike, but it is still Mike Trout, and I'm on the clock at number two. And of course, Timmy, I'm going Mike Trout. I can't believe it's a safe pick. I got Mike Trout picking number two. I had Mike Trout one, Paul Goldschmidt two. But I think I'm not sure if we were to draft a team today, which we are. I don't think you can really go wrong Trout or Goldschmidt there.
No, I have no problems with either one of those picks. Hey, if you're picking Trout first, Goldschmidt's going second. If you're picking Goldschmidt, Trout.
Okay, big shot. Well, it went Goldschmidt, it went Trout. I'm now really curious who you pick three. I know who I have as three, but I want to know who the great Tim McLeod is going to pick with the third pick.
Well, you know what? I'm an outfield sort of guy, and he's not having a great year, but we are drafting for next year, correct?
Yeah, we can draft for both. We're drafting as if the league started today, tomorrow. But I think, you know, we also need to think of next year as well. I mean, let's try to project there.
Okay, well, I'm going with Kutch, Andrew McCutchen.
Wow. Goes with Kutch. Robert, what's your thinking on that?
I think he's hurt. And I think that, it showed that the beginning of the year here. And I do think he's okay. I think he's going to come around here. But I think there is something wrong with that's affecting his speed. I think it's a knee issue.
That's interesting. I mean, that could explain a lot of things, Timmy. And, the speed is, what, 6 stolen bases, something like that. So if it continues, this is going to be 12 to 15 stolen bases and not what we expect McCutch to do. But if he is hurt, we could look at the old McCutchen coming back next year.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm looking at is over the balance of, if we were looking at solely over the balance of this year, he wouldn't be part of the equation. But I'm anticipating a healthy Andrew McCutchen heading into the spring next year. And I'll take a guy who I think has a proven history of 20 to 25 home runs, 20, 25 stolen bases, great batting average.
Robert, who did you have number three on your list?
I have Bryce Harper.
As did I. So I'm assuming you were on the clock and you were taking Bryce Harper. Or you say, Robert, you're on the clock.
Okay. So number four,
Yep. You're on the clock.
Number four is Anthony Rizzo.
I thought you said Bryce Harper.
Oh, Bryce Harper. Yeah. Oh, Bryce Harper. You bet. Bryce Harper. So especially in Dynasty, you're going to talk about Bryce Harper as that top spot, you know, competing with Trout in the Dynasty League. I mean, he's smashing the ball all over the right now. And while I think he's going to slow down a little bit and he has a little bit of potential to get hurt a little bit, people can't get him out right now.
Yeah, Timmy, I had Bryce Harper number three. I had him above Kutch a couple of spots. What do you think of Bryce Harper the rest of the year and going into next year?
Well, I think the big question with Harper is how many at-bats, and that's the only concern I have with Bryce Harper. He's a little nicked up right now. Are we ever going to see 600 at bats out of Bryce Harper? And I think that's the big question. If you believe it, yeah, definitely he is at the top of the charts.
I'm on the clock, and I'm going to play kind of middle of the road here. If this were, we were literally starting a team today, I would not pick this guy because he's injured. But assuming he was healthy, to me, he is the next guy off the board, and that is Giancarlo Stanton. So I think as we go into next year, looking at him as a top five pick, Timmy, is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, you got to love the power. The only concern, again, with Stanton is, will he ever get in 550-plus at-bats? It almost seems like every year it's something. The only plus with Stanton is, even on half a season, three-quarters of a season, he still could lead the majors in home runs.
Yeah, what's your thinking on Stanton going into next year? I mean, I think 50-plus, if he can stay healthy, Robert, is a no-brainer.
Yeah, agree.
All right, so Timmy McLeod, you were on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going with safe, boring old Miggy. Yep. Yeah, the batting average will always be there. The home runs might be down a bit, but there's nothing wrong with 31-10 with a 300-plus batting average, 100 runs scored. So it's safe and boring, but I got to go Miggy Cabrera.
I think it's safe. I think it's boring. He was my next guy off the board as well. I think it's a great pick. At some point, Robert, he will not be Miguel Cabrera. And when you start a draft, I mean, and you're looking at the beginning of the season, I mean, how much do you consider a guy like Miguel Cabrera as somebody who will eventually fall off and you don't draft him in the top six, seven picks?
To me, as long as he's healthy, I mean, I'm looking around 34 with Miggy, but he's only 32 now. He shows no slowdown at all.
Yeah, agreed. I think he is the right pick there. Okay, Robert, you are on the clock.
Okay, has already spilled the beans. I really like Anthony Rizzo. He's 25 years old. He's given you 327 batting average, about 32 homers, and with that comes 20 stolen bases. I mean, so that's even more than Miggy and the best years ahead of him.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick, Robert. I had him number 9, so just a couple of spots lower. Timmy, I think you and I talked about Rizzo. He is a poor man's Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, eventually the lineup around him is going to get not better. It's going to get very, very good. And as the lineup around him improves, you're going to see some of those counting numbers also improve. I like Rizzo.
Timmy, I'm on the clock, and I'll go with Robert first, and you can comment on my pick. It's a bit of a dicey one. I'm reaching maybe a little bit, but I analyze it over my 20 minutes reviewing this evening, and just decided I'm going to go with a guy that's playing in Coors Field, that's got third base eligibility, that's got the power, he's got the RBI totals because he's in Coors Field, and he's got the batting average, and that is one Nolan Arenado.
Wow, I thought being Canada Day, you were going to say Justin Morneau, Rich.
So, Robert, what do you think of Nolan Arenado? Too early?
No, I had him exactly there, Rich. And 45 home runs, 300 batting average in the league, and guys and players, 24 years old.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, Tim. When he was coming up, it's funny, when he was coming up, there was questions about his work ethic, his makeup a little bit. And now, I mean, if you hear people talk about Nolan Arenado, he's a gym rat. He's always out there, the first guy to get there, last guy to leave. This is a kid who either the scouting reports were wrong or it all started to click as he was moving through the minor league system.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got to love Arenado. I remember watching him in the AFL thinking he was going to be on the very, very fast track. And then there was that little speed bumpy hit where some of his work ethics were called into question, but shortly after that, the ship was righted, and he's going to be a strength at that position for a long, long time.
All right, so our top seven players are for Paul Goldschmidt, Mike Trout, Andrew McCutchen, Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, which is my pick and a little bit of, or somebody's pick. It might have been my pick. Yeah, a little bit of reach for next year. Anthony Rizzo, Nolan Arenado, Tim, you were on the clock.
Oh yeah, there's so many power guys sitting there, and you know, Rich, I've always been a speed whore. I was born one, raised one. I'm currently still one. And you know what? I really think, despite what we've seen thus far, heading into next season, we're going to see even bigger and better things out of a very diminutive but large second baseman for the Houston Astros. I think we're looking at 15 home runs, 75 RBIs plus. We're going to see 45 stolen bases, and he's going to be the best second baseman in the game, and that's Jose Altuve.
Wow, my buddy, my pal, Robert, I hate the pick. I think Jose Altuve is a second-round selection for me if I were to draft this year, and everybody knows my love for Jose Altuve. Just, he's too one-dimensional, two-speed batting average, and that's two dimensions, but I don't know, man. If he gets a little nicked up, the value all of a sudden goes in the toilet. Your thoughts?
I had him at number 11, and I mean, he's really, we said that at, I mean, listening to your show, you had him at the bottom of the first round, maybe the beginning of the second round this last year, and now he's really developed that power. So as Tim, you know, now he's, what, 15 home runs possible, and you got some RBIs there, and that's a pretty good thing with your, with those stolen bases and average.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that. I just worry about my buddy Jose Altuve. Somehow I've screwed up the draft order because, Tim, I think you missed the pick, and I apologize. So let's see. So we just did Tim. So we're back at Robert. You're on the clock.
I'm good, Rich. I picked Miggy Cab at number 6.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So then I didn't screw it up, which is amazing. Yeah. So, Robert, you're on the clock.
We're good. So this guy hasn't done it before, but I really like him. And so it depends on – you know, what we're doing, his really all his stats for Todd Frazier really should finish at this pace. I mean, it's 292, 45 home runs, 16 stolen bases in the prime years of his life. He has another year left on his contract. He's paying $6 million a year. And I really like Todd Frazier.
Yeah, Timmy, I really struggle with Todd Frazier. I actually slotted him at number 13. I just didn't know. I mean, it's Todd Frazier, for God's sake. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I know what he's done last year. I know what he's doing this year. But, Tim, it's Todd Frazier.
Yeah, but the thing is, Rich, we don't spend a lot of time looking in the rearview mirror. We spend time looking forward. And based on what he's done in the past, what he's doing this year, what's to say that he's not going to do it again? I think he's going to have a great year. And what I find amazing is that heading into this year, third base was a black hole. And then we're now talking about two at the hot corner, and we're at what, pick 10?
Yeah, we got more coming up, Timmy. So it is amazing.
I think so.
Todd Frazier is a legitimate first round pick. I think you both are right. I just am really, really struggling with it. And let me ask you a question, Robert. Given that Cincinnati might clean house, I mean, they probably should. Todd Frazier with a year left on that contract, as you said, would be a nice trade bait. What if he gets moved out of that great hitter's ballpark?
But I actually like him better because I think he's going to be in a better lineup wherever he goes. So, and that's the thing is I had him lower. And then when we were talking and we said, you know, it's more for this year, then this is what he's, you know, if it's next year, I think I move him down a little bit. And it will depend on where he goes. But this year, I mean, that's the pace that he's on.
I think I am on the clock, and I'm going to finally pick the first pitcher off the board. I debated Max Scherzer, I debated Clayton Kershaw, Felix, even threw in Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom. But in the end, I looked at Clayton Kershaw, I looked at the strikeout rate, I looked at the walk rate, I saw the little inflated ERA, but if I look at his expected ERA or his FIP, whatever you want to look at, he's still the same Clayton Kershaw. So I'm going to put him, Tim McLeod, as my first pitcher, or the first pitcher off the board here in the number, I think number 10 selection. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Kershaw. I hope it's number 11, though. But yeah,
I probably missed somebody. So
Yeah, no, I like Kershaw. I'm a little snake bit because I got burnt this year on a couple fronts. One, my own stupidity. And my problem with Kershaw is, yeah, everything is there. And it should be better than it is. But right now, he's ranked number 31 at ESPN. I'm going to stay away from Kershaw next year, mainly because of bitterness over my failed efforts this year, Rich.
What do you think of Kershaw as the number one pitcher off the board? Robert, should Scherzer be the number one pitcher or somebody else?
No, it's Kershaw. And I compared the stats, and I mean, Kershaw is just going to get better. I think he had that one bad start in Coors Field where he just blew up. And, you know, he has a 3.2 ERA now, and he's going to finish with a 2.6. So he has the skills. They're better than Scherzer. He has more swinging strikes, but a little bit less control this year so far. So there's nothing wrong.
Cool. Mr. McLeod, that puts you on the board, and somehow I've missed the player in my keeping track, so I'm sorry. I'm going to talk a long time, Tim, because I'm trying to figure out who I've missed.
Okay, yeah, if you want them, I've got them all listed, Rich. So
go ahead. Why don't you be the host, Tim? Tell us who the first 11 picks are.
Okay, we got Goldie, Trout, McCutch, followed by Harper, Stanton, Miggy, followed by Rizzo, Arenado, Jose Altuve, Todd Frazier, Clayton Kershaw, and I'm at 12.
Thank you, Tim. I had missed Miggy. The boring Miggy didn't make it on my list.
Yeah.
So I'm now screwed up. Thank you, Tim. You're on the clock at number 12.
Yeah, and this is going to be a little bit of a contentious pick, but if you look at the numbers, I can't pass on this guy, and that's Ryan Braun. You know, the home runs are there. He's 50 plus RBIs. He's still going to steal 15 to 20 bases. Batting average is solid. The only concern I have with Braun is what's going to be around him in Milwaukee, but the skills are all there. So I'm going with Ryan Braun at number 12.
Robert, I hate the pick. I didn't have him on my, I went down about 25. I didn't have him at all. You talk about boring Ryan Braun. I worry about the age. I worry about the team. I worry about many, many things with Ryan Braun the second half of the year and going forward. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's not my favorite pick. I didn't have in my top picks either. But when I'm just pulled up his stats now, I mean, he is up there. It's just whether he stays healthy or not.
Yeah, I agree. Tim, you could be right. I am bringing up his stats now, and this year it's been another, like, almost typical Ryan Braun, 279 batting average, 15 home runs, 9 stolen bases. So if we double that, we're halfway through. I mean, you're talking 30-20 with a 280 batting average and 100 RBIs and 88 runs. I mean, that's a first rounder right there. I just struggle with the fact that he's going to be 32 and he's Ryan Braun and that team and so forth. But I think I have to take it back. I think it's a reasonable pick.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your candor.
Okay. Robert is on the clock.
So this guy, and I don't know if I'm stealing him from Tim or not, but this is he plays for a Canadian team. It's Josh Donaldson.
Oh.
And he's just raking in Toronto at that power-filled lineup. I mean, my goodness, he's on pace for 36 home runs, 98 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. He has a 290 batting average. And my gosh, in that lineup, I mean, that's amazing. He is a free agent, though, I guess he's signed just through this year. So I hope Toronto can afford him.
Wow. What do you think of the Donaldson pick, Tim?
I hate it. I think it's terrible because Andrew McQuiston had a gummy bears and cherry Coke, okay, for whoever picked Donaldson. And now I am out gummy bears and cherry Coke. You know, this is unforgivable, Robert. It really is. He was going to be my round 15, the last pick of the first round, but it's a great pick. I it's just gummy bears. Oh, man, that hurts.
So I have to tell you guys something. So being here on the house phone, the portable phone, Elvis rang the bell to go outside, Tim. And Elvis,
okay,
the dog, he rings the bell. And it's, he's an old man. So 17 years old. So my wife's in bed. I had to let him out. So I was able to pick up my laptop, which Tim now has a new battery in it, by the way. So I got 4 hours of laptop power. I can walk outside. I'm sitting. It's beautiful out here watching Elvis go outside. It's like nothing's changed.
Well, and you know, Rich, you know, until I got this this helicopter pilot's gear on my head, I could do the same thing. You heard the microwave going off all the time. Now I'm just chained to my desk, a slave to the system.
I know. It's amazing. But so, Robert, when we just go off topic like I just did, I mean, is that endearing or is that annoying?
No, that's the greatest. No, it's so funny. I think I've had the greatest time with you guys in my home and, you know, just relieve the stress of the day. You guys are a hoot. So I love that. I fell off the chair. And I think the last three shows, I think I fell off my chair, literally.
Tim is ridiculously funny. And the amazing thing is he has no idea how funny he is. He just says, I mean, it's just funny, Tim. I don't know if you know that, but I mean, sometimes I'll listen back to the show and just start laughing. It's just some of the things you say or don't say, or you get caught with your pants down and you don't even lie. You just say, I wasn't paying attention. What? It's just great.
Yeah. You know, that show a couple weeks ago, I don't, as a rule, listen to the show, but I listened to that one and I honestly spent a good 15 minutes shaking my head. I honestly couldn't believe some of the stuff that came out of my mouth that evening, but it's a lot of fun. And you know what, it's a serious game that we play, but at the same point in time, you got to have some fun with it. Life's too short not to laugh is my motto.
Absolutely. So you picked Donaldson. So I've got my last pick of the first round, which is pick number 14. I am debating between Max Scherzer and Manny Machado. I got Max Scherzer on my prep list before Manny Machado. But, you know, I'm going to make it three or four third basemen in the first round. And I'm going with Manny Machado, who I think is having that breakout year. I do worry, Robert, about the injuries. And, I mean, he's had lots of injuries before. But, man, this is a guy that's got a chance to finish 25-25 this year. It's a really good batting average, playing in a great ballpark, and a team that's just, you know, still can score a lot of runs. I'm going Manny Machado. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Manny Machado is going to be one next year that you're going to swing for the fences with Manny Machado, or you're going to play it safe. And he's a swing for the fences guy. I mean, he is. He's 22 years old. But wow, those stats that he's accumulating, I mean, it's almost a 300 average, 30 home runs, 20 stolen bases, 100 runs, and he's only 22.
I know, Tim, it's amazing how young he is. And a lot of people started giving up on him. And I know in Dynasty Leagues, people started trading him away. And boy, as soon as he was able to get healthy, we saw the kind of talent that he can be.
Yeah, an amazing, amazing young player, and no qualms at all with the back of the first round on Manny Machado, which brings us to four third basemen, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So we got Paul Goldschmidt, we got Trout, Kutch, Harper, Stanton, Miggy, Rizzo, same guy, Arenado, Altuve, Frazier, Kershaw, Ryan Braun, Josh Donaldson, Manny Machado, and number 15, the great Tim McLeod, finishes up the first round with who?
Well, you know, this guy slid a little bit this year, but I think he's a product of his environment. And I think at some point in time, we're going to see a 40 home run, 120 RBI, 300 plus season out of a Chicago White Sox first baseman. And I'm going Jose Abreu.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. I had him sitting down at number 19. Robert, I mean, he has a bit of a down year. I think it's been tough to say he's returned first round value. I guess my question maybe for you, do you think he returns first round value in the second half?
Yeah, I do. I'm still a little bit concerned about him, but I especially in that lineup and that team, because I think there's something wrong with that team. They should be better than they are. And something's going on there with that we don't know about. So that's the only thing that I'm concerned about, but I think he's going to have a huge second half, and I'd go out and trade for him right now if you don't have him.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick, Tim. I think it's a really good thought. We're going to finish up, and we'll start with Robert. Give me two or three guys that maybe people aren't considering first, second round kind of talent, But you think second half of the year you're going to see them blow up, and then again next March we're going to be considering these guys for the first round or somewhere in the second round. So give me a couple of guys you're thinking about.
You want two?
Yeah, two or three, whatever you got.
Okay. So the first one I think is Justin Upton. I mean, he's always kind of been a middle average of the road, boring guy. And now he's really on pace for 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. He does have that 260 average, but he's hit for better average in his career. He's a 274 average guy. So I really think that there's more power there, and I think that there's a higher average there for this second half. The second guy, you know what? If you really want to take a chance, and he's doing it, he's just mashing it all over the place. It's your boy, both your boys, Carlos Correa.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. He's incredible. He gets the game. He's so confident, and he's on pace for even just half a season. He's 51 RBIs, 17 stolen bases, 48 runs. Now, if you double that, that's 285, 100 RBIs, 30 stolen bases, 100 runs. So, and that's, you know, we don't know how he's going to do in the second half with MLB pitching, but players like that will get pushed up to the first round because they love the player.
Yeah, I agree, Timmy. And I think it's a great call on Carlos Correa. I mean, there will be some correction in the second half, but next year could be the breakout year. And he's already, Timmy, he's only played for a month, in fact, less than a month, and he's already in the top 10 WAR for shortstops. I mean, he's played 3 weeks. And this shows two things. One, how good this kid has been, and two, how bad shortstops are.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. If you take a look at your two top shortstops right now, I believe Brandon Crawford and Johnny Peralta are 1-2.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna overachieve here. I'm gonna do a Tim McLeod and overachieve and give three helium guys. The first one is Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward's been working on his swing. The Cardinals have been working diligently on his swing, and I saw a nice long article about that, and that totally made sense to me. And so I think we're starting to see that breakout of Jason Hayward. All of that talent, that athleticism, starting to come together, and magical things seems to happen in St. Louis. And Timmy and I need Jason Hayward to have a great second half because we need to see them in the World Series, in fact, winning that World Series. So that's the first guy. The second guy that I think is just starting to put it together, somebody that no one would consider for the first two or even three rounds if we were to do a draft today. But I think Mookie Betts is a guy that I think has still got superstar written all over him. And I think that we started to see the better contact, the more plate patients here the last month, and I think it's just going to continue. And my third guy, and I'm still huge on this guy, and I think as soon as Pittsburgh starts playing him both left and right, stops platooning him, I think Gregory Polanco still has first-round talent from a fantasy standpoint. He's still got some development to do. Went 3-for-3 tonight. He's just got raw skills. A young kid. Not saying he's going to return first, second round value the second half, but it's a guy, Timmy, that I think the talent is too broad to give up on him. And I think come next year, drafts next year, he could be a fourth or fifth round pick and pretty easily. Those are my three. What are your thoughts?
Hey, they're all good breakout candidates. I don't have any problems with any of those guys, Rich. And the bottom line is we're going to find out sometime in the next, well, in some cases, Hayward's case, probably in the next 2-3 months, if the optimism is warranted. So we'll know by next spring, but they're all solid upside sort of guys.
Timmy, what are your couple that you have that are breakouts? Have we taken them all from you?
No, actually, I'm going to play your game and go with three, Rich. Guys that I think in the second half could really vault their status. George Springer in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, we're at the stage right now where he's running. The home runs are there. The RBIs are a little off. It doesn't take very long for George Springer to go from a very disappointing sort of player to a player that I have to have. And so Springer is one. Second one is another third baseman, except this time we're going to go to the NL and we're going to go to the Cubs. There hasn't been much talk about Chris Bryant, but man, he's having a good season. There is nothing wrong with the numbers that Chris Bryant is posting. He's going to be an outstanding player, and all it would take is a little bit of a hot streak with the home runs, and all of a sudden Chris Bryant is going to be vaulting up the charts next spring in a huge way. And my third pick is somebody everybody loves to hate that I've believed in for probably, since he played T-ball. And this guy is currently sitting fourth in home runs in the outfield category. He's a Detroit Tiger. He has 20 home runs, 48 RBIs. If JD Martinez sustains what he did in the first half, he's going to be a late second, early third round pick.
Yeah, JD Martinez, Robert, is a great pick there. But it is interesting, if we take a look at all of our selections, and most of them, Stans, maybe even Justin Upton, these are really young players. And it is amazing. The first round is even littered with really young, under 25 players. The game is changing. The Anthony Rizzos, the Manny Machado, the Chris Bryant, the Carlos Correas. In the next two or three years, Robert, these are going to be our first round selections.
Yeah, I agree. And I'd add Starling Marte in there. He's only 26 as well.
Yeah, I had him great somewhere call. Around as well. That's a great call. I had, don't forget, one guy that might be better, it might go, if we were to pick today, who might go ahead of all those the guys that we just talked about, could be Jock Peterson. I mean, Jock Peterson's having a remarkable breakout year.
Yeah, he is. I think Peterson's going to go off the board if he sustains what he's done. He'll be a second, early third round pick.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had Albert Pujols, Timmy, at number 17, and talk about a guy who's having a better year than Mike Trout is Albert Pujols. I mean, this is a, you know, we do talk about young players a lot because everybody's looking for those upside, and it's the Ryan Braun's, it's the Justin Upton's, even though he's a little younger, and the Albert Pujols who dropped. And I remember my NFBC team, I got him at the pick number one, so I got him, you know, the first pick of the third round, and I was really, really happy with that. So I went Trout, Starling Marte, and then Albert Pujols, and Pujols is playing better than both of those guys.
Yeah, he had an absolutely amazing June, absolutely pounding it. But there are so many players out there, so many opportunities. It's going to be absolutely fascinating. You know, we didn't discuss a whole lot of pitching, but there's a whole lot of pitching that's available and some great young pitchers. And on top of that, you look at second base, and has anybody taken a look at the numbers that Brian Dozier is posting? Absolutely off the charts good. He's leading all at his position by, I think, 7 or 8 home runs, leading in runs scored, RBIs. He's stealing bases. Yet Brian Dozier gets absolutely no love at all.
So, Robert, one final question for you, and then we'll skedaddle here, is, you know, one name that popped up when I was doing the research and looked at CBS, you know, 1 through N, and I went to Baseball HQ and sorted by, you know, dollar value, was Brett Gardner. 9 home runs, 16 stolen bases, decent batting average, hitting at the top of the lineup. I mean, he is one of the top fantasy contributors in the first half, but he's one of those guys that's kind of like a Ryan Braun or Justin Upton. It's like, it's Brett Gardner. Has he turned into an elite fantasy player?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think that whole Yankee team is overachieving. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but my goodness. I mean, everybody thought at the beginning of the year the Yankees were going to be in the tank. And somehow they've rallied together. I mean, A-Rod's having a great year, and that Tex is really amazing. And Gardner's been really the spark plug of that team.
So, Tim, do you agree he's overrated, as Robert is saying, not really an elite fantasy talent?
I think he's a very, very good player who's having a very, very good year. Am I betting on a repeat of that next year? No.
I think
he'll go back to being just a good player.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. Robert, you survived.
I survived. I'm a little disappointed.
Uh-oh. Why?
I wanted the construction in the background, Tim.
Just to let you know, Robert, I am sitting at my desk on the first floor, and nothing fell into the basement. Life is good.
No, it's been a thrill for me. Thank you guys so much. It's an honor to be on your show, and really keep up the great work. It's such a joy for so many people.
Well, Robert, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to get more listeners on from time to time. We want to get the great Maine Skin on, Alan Servinus, who is a crazy man too. So all of our deep listeners, Tim, love fantasy baseball and they're crazy about it. And to get them on and hear the passion. I mean, Robert's well-spoken. I knew he was going to be because of the kind of work that he does. He's really a good fantasy player. I think that combination is fantastic.
Yeah, as do I. Thanks so much, Robert. It's been a pleasure finally getting the opportunity to talk to you. And the best of luck in all your fantasy endeavors this year, excluding DL2, where you can finish fifth. That would be perfectly fine by me.
Yeah, except for that league. Don't look down.
I won't.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. Robert, thanks so much. Guys, if you want to go out and get in touch with us, it's at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG. Of course, the great Tim McCloud, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. And Robert, on Twitter, how can people get a hold of you?
It's Dr. Mershak, Dr. Mershak. You can reach me at Mershak Artist Man as well.
That's awesome. And obviously go out to our Facebook page, hang out there. Guys, if you don't get involved in that, you're missing something. Somebody wrote out to me on iTunes that it's the combination of the Facebook page and the show that help you win your league. And that's pretty cool because the community can crowdsource trade ideas. And, you know, it's really good. And sometimes people will post that on my site or give me a Twitter question. I'm like, I don't know. You better go out and post that on the Facebook page to get more than one person's opinion because some of the stuff people ask, you know, you really do need to kind of get a majority opinion there.
Well, yeah, because we're dealing with so many diverse types of leagues, sizes of leagues. And, you know, just as an example, and I apologize for not writing down the gentleman's name who posted it, but if you're looking for news as soon as it happens, just this afternoon, we were notified through the Facebook page that our good friend Kenny Vargas was being demoted to AAA. And guess who's getting called up? And I think if you're looking for fast news, that Facebook page is as fast as anything out there. And congratulations to all of the Miguel Sano owners. That era starts tomorrow.
Yeah, Timmy, and not to blow our own horn, but we called that one about 3 weeks ago. It was like Miguel Sano is going to come up and Vargas is going down. You know, Vargas was paying pretty well, actually, the last few days. And that was a pretty shocking move to actually demote him and call up Sano, given how good Kenny Vargas was actually playing.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't playing every day. And I think that was the key. The Twins are in a race, and I think they want a spark. And, you know, Molitor knows that I paid a buck for him in totes. So a combination of all of that, Rich, what can you ask for?
You paid a buck for Miguel Sano?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good for you. Wow.
I bought him a couple weeks back.
Dr. Mershak, that's why Tim is the great Tim McCloud. He does these things early on that make no sense. Buy a guy in town, sit him on your team for a week and get no stats, and then he's got Carlos Correa, he's got Miguel Sano. It's a great player right there.
Yeah, it's incredible. He's a great player. Hey, Rich, is Sano going to play the outfield at all or just third base and put Plouffe at the DH?
Sano can't play the outfield. I've never seen him play the outfield. He's a big, big dude. So I'd be surprised if they put him out there. I think it's third base, DH, and maybe a little first. So I thought Maurer got hurt today, but maybe he wasn't too hurt because they still moved Kenny Vargas down. But I don't see him playing the outfield, Robert.
No, I heard an update, Robert, that said he's going to play the bulk of his time at DH right now.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That would make sense.
So they really like Plouffe.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, Trevor Plouffe is playing okay at third. He's a pretty good defensive third baseman. Ultimately, the spot for Sano is first base, but Joe Mauer plays first base, and Robert, he's Mr. Minnesota. I mean, so that's their Derek Jeter. That's going to be tough to move him.
Yeah.
If Sano hits 5 home runs in the first 10 games he's up, there can be a new Mr. Minnesota, Rich. That can't change.
I encourage everybody to go out to, and you can rent this on iTunes, rent Pelotero, and it is the story of Miguel Sano as a 13, 14, 15-year-old going through the Dominican Republic and then all the attention around him when everybody was trying to sign him and all the backroom deals that were being done and all the dirty pool that was being played. It is subtitled. Tim, and of course, Macro says we're totally uncultured, but I did watch the entire thing multiple times, I'll have you know, and watched it with subtitles. So, because I don't speak any Spanish, so, but it's fantastic. So I encourage everybody with Miguel Sano coming out, go spend $4.99 on iTunes and rent it, and it's a great flick.
Thanks so much. I'll take your advice, Rich, and you and Dr. Robert have a great week.
See everybody, and everybody in the U.S. enjoy the 4th of July. Be safe. Yeah. Don't do fireworks. It's crazy. Go to the fireworks. Don't put them off in your own house. And enjoy this little tune, the Star Spangled Banner. See everybody.